Behind the Line, episode 15. I'm your host, KC. Follow me on Twitter at KC_BTL84. Make sure to hit the like and subscribe button if you're listening on YouTube. Click that notification bell so you get all notifications from the channel. I'm going to get right into it today. Remember when we had the replacement officials in the NFL? I believe it was around 2011 or 2012. They had an excuse to be terrible. The NFL literally picked up bum collegiate officials to replace the real NFL referee. I remember after the Green Bay-Seattle game on Monday Night Football, the replacement officials fucked everything up so bad that the league immediately reached a new agreement with the union and brought the real officials back the following week. I think we had to go through 3, 4, 5 weeks that year of those replacement officials fucking everything up before the union and the league could finally reach an agreement. I've been relatively silent on the officiating this year so far. But after what I saw Monday night, I figure I needed to say something about it. What the fuck are we supposed to do right now with the officiating in the National Football League? Officiating in this league is as bad as it's ever been. This is starting to become a topic every Monday morning, Tuesday morning, Friday morning. Blown calls, non-calls, bad results from challenges. How much worse is it going to get before something is done about it? What we saw on Monday night between Detroit and Green Bay was an absolute embarrassment for the NFL. Once again, officials literally cost the Detroit Lions that football game. I don't want to hear the excuses. Oh, they had plenty of other opportunities. A game isn't decided by one play. That's bullshit. You're out of your fucking mind if you don't think officiating impacts the results of these games. And the thing of it is, in the NFL, so in the NBA, you have a blown call or a bad officiated game. You've got 81 other games that you have the opportunity to make it up. So if you lose one game, it's not a big deal. You lose one game in the NFL, it can be the difference between winning the division or not, making the playoffs or not. It's a huge deal. You only get 16 games a season. We saw it last year in New Orleans when they cost the Saints a shot at the Super Bowl. Think about how many guys on that roster might not ever get another opportunity to play in a game that gets you to the Super Bowl again. It might never happen for guys like Mark Ingram. Hell, it might not ever happen for Drew Brees again. He's on knocking on the door of retirement. If the Detroit Lions miss the playoffs this season by one game, we will all come back to this game that happened Monday night and point to it as the reason that they're not in the playoffs. I heard something the other day. I believe Mike Pereira said it. If you don't know who Mike Pereira is, he is the guy they go to on Fox when the challenges are going on. And he basically explains things from an NFL official's perspective. He's a former NFL official himself. He said something along the lines of, they were talking about, why can't we have people in the booth reviewing these calls as they're happening and communicating with a live mic with the lead official on whether or not it was a penalty. It sounds reasonable to me. Wouldn't take much time. I mean, the fucking officials on questionable calls are meeting in the middle of the field anyway and discussing it, and they don't have the benefit of the replay. Well, Mike Pereira said the league won't agree to do that because it doesn't want to damage the integrity of the official's original call on the field. Well, it's too fucking late for that. The integrity's already been damaged. I don't know about you, but I have absolutely zero faith right now in these NFL officials. It's getting to the point where I expect them to make the wrong call. Several Detroit players were quoted after the game, basically destroying the officiating. Who can blame them? When you prepare all week and you're poised to win a division game on the road and the fucking officials steal the game away from you, I'd be pissed off too. Roger Goodell, he will find a way to blame them, and I'm sure levy fines for them coming out and criticizing the officiating, because that's what Roger Goodell does. Something's got to be done to correct the officiating in this league, and it's got to be done in a hurry. Do I think Roger Goodell is going to do anything to correct it? No. All of this controversy is great for the NFL. What have we been talking about all week? You turn on ESPN, Fox Sports 1. All week, they've been talking about the officiating in the Detroit Green Bay game. The incompetence of these dumbass officials. But there will come a point when people have enough. It ruins the integrity of the game when the officials on the field that are supposed to be keeping everything fair are tilting the odds towards one team. I don't hear anyone in Green Bay complaining about the officials. I wonder why. They got most of the calls Monday night, or the non-calls went their way. It just doesn't make any sense. They have more technology now. Every minute detail of every second of every play is captured on film. The technology is so good, you could literally smell the guy's fart on the fucking field. Yet Roger Goodell and the NFL continue to sit with their thumbs in their ass and do absolutely nothing to fix the problem. You know, to me, they fine these players for everything. Why can't you fine officials when they blatantly miss a call? Like the call in the NFC Championship game last year would be a perfect example of you fining officials for missing that call. All right, let's move on. I pretty much laid off of the big NBA story that's been going on the past couple of weeks. I don't really like talking politics, mainly because politics are very personal to a lot of people, and also because most politicians, I feel like, have zero effect on my day-to-day life. Most of the drivel that comes out of their mouth is just bullshit and doesn't really pertain to me day-to-day. But I also hold back commenting because in situations like this, I feel like it's better to let the situation play out before I really form an opinion. In case you've been living under a rock, for the past 6-7 months, people have been in the streets of Hong Kong protesting for their freedom. And who can blame them? Living in China sucks. Communist government. They tell you what you're going to do for a living. No social media. The government basically takes care of you and all your needs from cradle to grave in exchange for your freedom. Who wants to live like that? I don't. I'm glad that I was born in America. I consider myself blessed to be born in this country. Long story short, as far as how the NBA got involved, Rockets general manager Daryl Morey sent out a tweet a couple of weeks ago in support of the protesters who were protesting against the Chinese government for their freedom. Chinese government got pissed. Adam Silver kind of played the fence. China ends up canceling promotional appearances for the players, endorsement deals, you know, shit like that. LeBron James then came out as kind of a voice of the players and basically stated that Daryl Morey cost players millions of dollars by running off at the mouth. Said that Daryl Morey didn't really understand the issue at hand. A lot of people are pissed off at LeBron James about his statements. You can find everything he said on Twitter and YouTube. But look, LeBron here is in a lose-lose. If he stays silent, he loses. If he comes out in support of Daryl Morey, he loses because he isn't standing up for NBA players, or he pisses off the Chinese government, or he potentially pisses off Adam Silver. The guy can't win. I actually side with LeBron James on this issue, and I know it's not a popular opinion right now. A lot of people are dragging LeBron James for what he has said. I'm not going to be one of them. The NBA has spent years trying to build its brand in China. Players have put in a lot of time going over there, making appearances, playing in exhibition games, building their individual brands in the Chinese market. Look, traveling over to China is not a pleasant experience. It's a long-ass flight. You're in a foreign communist country. So I fully understand why the players would be upset about this. I saw a report that one player on the Lakers lost $1 million endorsement deal in China because of Daryl Morey's tweet. Now, I understand why Morey would want to support a movement that promotes freedom. I support freedom, but I don't really feel like it's his place to do so. And here's why. The NBA's business right now doesn't 100% depend on China, but it kind of depends on China. I'm all about freedom of speech, but just because we have that in this country doesn't mean you're free from the consequences of your speech. The Houston Rockets are the most popular NBA team in China because of Yao Ming. Daryl Morey should have known better. Hell, the Chinese government edits news coverage when the press is talking about something that they don't approve of. They will literally black out live news coverage and turn it back on when whatever it is they're saying on there that they disapprove of is over with. There's no Facebook. There's no Twitter. So Morey had to have known that tweeting something like this would cause an uproar within the Chinese government. And if not an uproar, he at least should have known that they would have been pissed off about it. Think about this too. The NBA salary cap is dependent upon money it receives from China. We've seen these players' salaries increase exponentially the last few years. Some of that can be attributed to the popularity of the league rising in the United States. But a lot of it has to do with the growth of the NBA in China. If they lose that huge market in China, it will be a direct hit to the salary cap, which means these players will be making less money. Now, I've seen some people comment that LeBron's making these statements because all he cares about is money. Maybe so. It could be true. But I don't think that's the case. LeBron James has already made his hundreds of millions of dollars. His great-grandkids are taken care of for life. He benefits nothing on coming out against Daryl Morey's tweet. It's a PR nightmare for him, which is probably why it took him so long to comment about it. To me, and this is just my opinion, LeBron is looking out for the players and the future NBA players. Like I just said, the NBA, if they lose its deal in China, it directly affects the salary cap. These $30 to $40 million a year contracts potentially could be gone. LeBron's got a son that could be playing in the NBA within the next year or two, so it would affect his kid. I don't agree with the way the Chinese government treats its citizens or how they massively have overreacted to Daryl Morey's little 7-word tweet. I think it's ridiculous. But on the other hand, it's not our business to comment on political issues in China. I completely understand LeBron James and the player's position on this. And I don't really blame him for being upset about it. All right, enough about that. I hate politics. Let's move on. Ryan Leaf. Ryan Leaf is by far the biggest draft bust in NFL history. It's not even an arguable point. His career was short-lived, but he made quite the impact in his short-lived stint in the NFL. Cursing out a reporter in the locker room when the guy was just trying to do his job. Blaming any and everyone when things were not going his way. He had a poor performance, it was the official's fault. Or the coaching staff, or the offensive line. You get the picture. In short, Ryan Leaf was an asshole. In many ways, Baker Mayfield is similar to Ryan Leaf. I actually think that Ryan Leaf had a higher ceiling in the NFL because he was so physically gifted. Both guys never experienced failure in high school or college. Both were actually big winners at the college football level. Both guys entered the NFL with a lot of hype, most of it self-induced hype. Both love to talk shit, and neither can back it up on the field. Ryan Leaf was on the Rich Eisen show earlier this week, and he had some interesting things to say about Baker Mayfield. Quote, "When things start to go bad, you put yourself out there in this form, and people can easily attack it. I have a very small sample size, 2-0 to start my NFL career, talking a lot of smack. And then I walk into Kansas City and put up the worst football game of my existence. And I've always been this brash, arrogant kind of guy. That's the way I came back at everybody instead of just walking up in front of the camera and going, oh my God, this was my fault. I'm going to do everything I can to make sure this doesn't happen again. And hearing Baker, even though small, blame the officials for some calls is problematic for me because as a quarterback, you want to be able to stand up in front of everybody and take personal accountability, end quote. I agree 100% with Ryan Leaf. Fans, people in the media, we can blame officials. Players and coaches can't. Were there some bad calls in that Seattle-Cleveland game? Yes. Was it the reason the Browns lost? No. The Browns lost because they kept turning the fucking ball over. Guys kept dropping passes. I don't like defending NFL officials because they're abysmal right now. But they're not to blame for Cleveland losing that game. Baker Mayfield and Ryan Leaf are eerily similar at this point in Mayfield's career. I said it earlier this year. The hype guys, the loud guys, the shit-talking guys, especially at the quarterback position, they don't make it in the NFL. Baker is in 20 different commercials, spent all offseason on endorsement deals. The question is, how will Baker Mayfield respond to this level of adversity? For the first time in his career, he's facing questions about his ability to play the quarterback position. I'm starting to wonder if Baker Mayfield's going to be able to survive. If he were being coached by a Sean Payton, a Bill Belichick, a Pete Carroll, I'd feel better about it. But his coach is Freddie Kitchens, the guy that Baker Mayfield wanted to have the job, a guy in and of itself that has no idea what he's fucking doing. He is way over his head at this point. He has no idea what to do to fix this team. Cleveland is sitting at 2-4 right now, and it's about to be much, much worse. At New England, at Denver, Buffalo, then the Steelers. They'll be 3-7 at the end of that stretch. Realistically speaking, you're looking at a 6-10 season for the Cleveland Browns, and that's being optimistic about it. It could be worse than that. All the talent on this team, and they could be 6-10. All right, let's get to the college football plays. Should be a decent weekend in college football. Few big matchups on the schedule for Saturday. It's tough betting these college football games. I'll be honest with you. I don't enjoy college football near as much as I do the NFL. But I was thoroughly pleased with how good college football was last weekend. Hopefully we get the same this Saturday. Let's get to it. Oregon at Washington. Current line, Oregon -2.5. This is an interesting matchup to me. The Huskies are rarely a home dog, and haven't been a home dog to Oregon since 2013. If not for a late game collapse opening weekend against Auburn, Oregon would be undefeated right now. Justin Herbert is one of the top quarterbacks in the country. Legitimate NFL prospect. However, I'm more impressed with the Oregon defense and believe that's going to be the key to this game. After giving up 27 points to a somewhat anemic Auburn offense, mostly in the second half, this Oregon defense has been outstanding. Haven't allowed an opponent to score double digits since that game in week one. Last five games, Oregon's given up only 25 points. They're holding their opponents to 5 points a game. Washington packs a strong defense as well, and Jacob Eason's a great quarterback. However, I think Washington's a bit overrated. Home loss to Cal. Road loss at Stanford a couple of weeks ago. Sure, this Washington defense forces turnovers, but Oregon takes great care of the ball. Only 5 turnovers on the season and just 1 interception. I think Oregon is the significantly better team here. I'm usually very leery about swallowing points on the road in a conference game in a hostile environment. But I'm getting a veteran quarterback with an outstanding defense in this situation. I like Oregon to pull away in the fourth quarter. Going to take Oregon -2.5. Next up, LSU at Mississippi State. Current line, LSU -18. I told you guys on Tuesday that LSU is my favorite to win the national championship this season. And I'm going to ride Joe Burrow and the Tigers until they prove me wrong. I know this is a big number. And LSU's coming off that big home win against Florida. But let's be honest. Mississippi State sucks. This is a bad football team. Struggled against Louisiana Lafayette. Only decent win this season is against a bad Kentucky team. Blown out by Auburn, they just lost to Tennessee, for God's sake. The worst fucking team in the SEC. LSU's got a talented defensive front, but they can be susceptible to the pass. But the Bulldogs won't be able to take advantage of that because Mississippi State averages less than 200 yards a game passing. They're god-awful through the air. Mississippi State loves to run the football, which is going to be tough against an LSU defense that allows under 100 yards a game. LSU's dominated this series the last 10 years, but has only covered once in their last five games against Mississippi State. I hate swallowing this many points on the road, but I like LSU to run away with this game early and never let up, taking LSU minus 18. Michigan at Penn State, current line, Penn State minus 9. Don't let the 5-1 record fool you. This Michigan team isn't very good. Struggled against Army. Blown out by Wisconsin. This offense is in shambles. Nearly blowing a 28-7 halftime lead last week against fucking Illinois. Went scoreless on 5 straight possessions to open that second half. Now they're going up against one of the best defenses in the Big Ten in a night game in one of the toughest places in the country to play on the road. The Penn State defense is tough. Held Iowa to 70 rushing yards on 30 attempts last week. The Nittany Lion offense was outplayed last week at Iowa, but the defense stepped up several times to win that game. Penn State is disciplined. They run the ball well. They don't commit penalties, strong defense, and should be able to take advantage of a Michigan team that I think is about to fall apart at the seams. The Wolverines don't take care of the ball. 9 fumbles already on the season. Add to that, Michigan's 2-8 against the spread their last 10 games, which tells me they're not as good as Vegas thinks. I like Penn State to win this game rather easily, taking Penn State minus 9. All right, just to recap, taking Oregon minus 2.5, LSU minus 18, Penn State minus 9. Heavy favorite weekend this weekend in college football. All right, that's it. I'm done for today. I'll be back tomorrow morning with my NFL plays for Sunday. Hit the like and subscribe button if you're listening on YouTube. Make sure you hit the notification bell to receive all notifications from the channel. We've had a big jump in downloads for the podcast this week, so I appreciate all the support. Leave a comment in the section below. Let me know your college football bets for this weekend. Follow me on Twitter at KC_BTL84. I will see you guys tomorrow morning.